D. Nominally, he was in charge of the network, but Iger oversaw ABC Entertainment, and Eisner intervened in all the major programming and scheduling decisions. The blurry line of authority was exacerbated by the ongoing war between Tarsus and Braun. Bornstein thought Tarsus was in way over her head, immature, and that she was manipulating Bloomberg, the third member of the triumvirate. It was a mess. Bornstein warned Iger that he'd have to fire Tarsus, but Iger resisted. "She's never going to thank you," Bornstein warned. "You're just putting off the inevitable. You're going to have to do it, eventually." ABC Primetime was taking up so much of Eisner's attention that he didn't have much time for any of the other divisions, such as the live-action studio under Joe Roth or animation under Peter Schneider. Despite Roth's efforts to cut costs, to eliminate costly talent deals, to reduce overhead, Eisner was convinced that spending remained out of control and that Roth lacked the capacity to say no. Schneider had been restless ever since the Lion King triumph on Broadway and was threatening to quit. Eisner's solution was to move Schneider from animation to become head of the Walt Disney live-action studio, reporting to Roth, with Thomas Schumacher succeeding Schneider at animation. Schneider's orders were to keep costs down, to monitor Roth, and to report directly to Eisner, in effect, to spy on Roth. News of Schneider's ascension came as a blow to David Vogel, who now reported to Schneider. Even though he retained his title as president of the Walt Disney Studio, as well as Touchstone and Hollywood, he went to see Roth. "So I'm fired," he said. "No, no," Roth assured him. "Schneider had to get the studio, but he'll be far too busy to bother you." Right, Vogel thought. He wished Roth would just have the decency to level with him. For whatever reason, buying the Sixth Sense, he suspected, he was being hung out to dry. The next morning, Schneider and Vogel had lunch at the Rotunda, the Disney executive dining room. Schneider announced that he would be making all decisions involving the Disney label, and Vogel would carry them out. "If you're not happy with this, I'm prepared to move into your office," Schneider said. As he said this, Schneider was gripping the table so hard that it shook. "Give me a week to rearrange the company," Vogel said. He'd been running Touchstone and Disney as a single entity. "That's not fast enough," Schneider replied. Vogel had always maintained a respectful distance from Eisner. He'd promised Roth he wouldn't go behind his back, and he honored the promise. Still, Eisner had often complimented him at meetings, and once sent him a note that no one understood the Disney label as well as Vogel. But now Eisner ignored him. Roth invited Schneider to all studio meetings, even Touchstone ones where Vogel was in charge. Schneider said, "I like this," or "I don't like this," effectively controlling the entire development slate. At one meeting, he interrupted Vogel in front of the entire staff and said that he had little respect for anything Vogel had produced. "Well, I can see that all of our movies aren't perfect, but what about 101 Dalmatians? It did well." "No," Schneider said sharply, and proceeded to criticize one Vogel project after another. Everyone present fell into shocked silence. Schneider told Vogel he no longer had the authority to buy anything on his own. Then he began emailing orders to Vogel's staff.